I'm Natasha Del Toro, the host of Verified, and I'm here to give you a heads up on some major developments on Dino Maglio's case. So if you haven't heard the whole series yet, I want to warn you, there are some spoilers ahead. Now, if you remember, at the end of our series, Dino Maglio had been convicted of serial rape and sentenced to 12 years and 8 months behind bars. He filed an appeal against the decision and was living with his mother in the south of Italy, basically waiting for his new court date. All right, hey guys, I'm here again with Cecilia and Giulio, and there's been some pretty big news since the release of Verified. A lot of people have been wondering what's been going on with Dino Maglio. So what do you guys know? Fill us in. Cecilia.
Hi, everybody. So we, there's been quite a few updates. We have received a document from the Appeal Court of Venice where it says that the first hearing for the appeal is set for the 20th of July this year. It was supposed to be earlier, but because of the lockdown measures for COVID-19, it was moved a bit later. This document was received by Kate's lawyer, Cattaneo. And there we can see that Dino Maglio receives this order to be present in the hearing, and he receives this letter at the jail of Lecce, like in prison. And we were like, what's going on? This looks like he's in prison. So we Googled. Actually, he had been arrested on the 6th of May, on a Wednesday. Local reporter Luca Ingegneri reported on the fact that Maglio had been allegedly abusing his parents, like doing domestic violence against them, for over a year. But at one point, his mother had like a sort of final fight with him over an issue that concerned the fact that he had been seeing a girl, like he had a girlfriend, and wanted to spend time with her even during the start of lockdown for COVID-19. So there was this sort of discussion between the mother and the son, and she got scared because of episodes that had happened in the past, in which the local reporter says she even had to leave the house, or she had to lock herself in a different occasion. So at that point, she decided to denounce, went to the Carabinieri of Sorbo, who arrested him and brought him to jail in Lecce.
Right. Wow. There's a lot there to unpack. So you're telling me that in May, he was arrested again. He went back to jail. And this time it was his mother who had called the police to report him because of domestic violence. And you're also telling me that he has a girlfriend. Fill me in a little bit more about these details. So he goes back to jail. And what happens then, Giulio?
What happens then? Well, it's been a bit gattopardesco, as we say in Italy. A lot of changes to go back to the original situation. Basically, he'd spent in jail just 10 days, and his lawyer got him out again. And the reason why he got him out, the main factor that allowed him to go out of jail again, is that this new girlfriend allowed him to stay at her place. So basically she accepted to have Maglio host at her house, and this was deemed enough by the court to temper his violent behavior, something like that. Their precise wording is, wait a second. Yeah, to contain the criminal urges shown by Maglio. So the fact that he would be staying with her girlfriend should be enough, according to the judge, to contain that. Without passing my personal opinion on the judgment of the court, it is quite a surprising other development of the situation. And basically, we are back to the same situation where we were before. He still has a kind of obligo di dimora, so he's forced to live now at the house of this new girlfriend, and possibly I believe with few contacts with the mother. But we also know from from the recordings and from the stories of the women that stayed at his place in Padua when his mother was there, that he was already abusive towards his mother. So this behavior doesn't come as a complete surprise. And yet, considering how the mother testified in his favor during the trial, personally, I didn't imagine that she would arrive to the point to denounce him and to not be able to support her son anymore, to stay with him in the same place. I mean, there were signs of this, but it was still quite surprising. And again, it is just as surprising, this next news that he stayed in jail just for 10 days and has been freed again, thanks to this new girlfriend. And again, the situation might change even more, because now the appeal is going to be this autumn. So it's a few months, and a lot can happen in these few months, as you see. But surely he gives his lawyer a lot of work. I mean, there's always something going on with him.
This is wild. So his mom puts him back in jail. He's there for 10 days. And then he goes to stay at his girlfriend's house. They let him to go stay at his girlfriend's house. Now, this is a guy who's been convicted of serial rape. Who is this new girlfriend? What do we know about this new girlfriend that he has?
We don't know anything. The only adjective that's been attached to her, let's say, in the local reporting is that she is super young. Giovanissima, they say. She's a Puglian. She comes from a nearby village. And that's where he has been registered, you know, for this obbligo di dimora, for this time that he has to sleep at home. So at her home, it's a village, it's a small city close to Lecce. Also, we know that he cannot communicate with anybody who is not the person who lives with him. So basically, he's obliged to only talk to this girl, but we don't know any more details about her.
And that's a new restriction on him, right? That he can only talk to this girl. That's after his mother charged him, or
well, it's a consequence of the fact that he was being jailed, and then his lawyer asked for him to be sent back home. But this time, the home would not be his mother; it would be his girlfriend's. And within this measure, he cannot even talk to the mother right now.
So it does seem that this new measure is more restrictive than the ones he was under before. Because if before he just had to sleep at his parents' home at night, he could still go out during the day. So presumably he was allowed to communicate with people and to the bartender, for instance, if he were to order something. So now if he can only communicate with the person that he's sharing the apartment with, this girlfriend, then it means that it is a bit more serious and strict than it was before. Still, it's a pretty comfortable situation, considering that until very recently these were the same conditions that applied to 100% of the population. Apparently, his lawyer made the case that the abuse against his mother was actually something that happened a long time before, and that it was just a moment of crisis, and that it somehow wasn't that serious. We do not know the details of what kind of actual violence he committed towards the mother. So it's hard to evaluate. We do not know if he hit her, or if he just shouted at her, or if he scared her in any other way. So it is really hard to evaluate this from our position.
But we do know that she made the call in early May, right? She called the police in early May, the mother.
Yes.
Yes, it looks like they had this fight over the fact that it was this girlfriend, and he wanted to spend time with her with the lockdown starting. I mean, actually, the lockdown by May was already on, because our lockdown in Italy started on the 11th of March. So I guess something happened there, and she decided to go and denounce. So it could be that she, you know, that's the thing that pushed her to then go and denounce something that had happened earlier between them, but she sort of that we say la goccia che ha fatto traboccare il vaso, like the drop, the water drop that made the vase. The water gets get out of the vase.
In English, it would be the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, how do you think that this latest situation, you know, his mother calling the police on him, him being in jail and out of jail and staying with the girlfriend, how do you think this will all affect his appeal?
I'm not sure if it will or not, because theoretically, in his appeal, the facts and the evidence is the same that was presented at the first degree trial. So all of this should not enter the appeal. And again, as it's not a jury trial, the prosecutor cannot like state these facts in hope to get a general character impression of him and influence the judgment on him. The judgment will still be based on the evidence that was presented in trial. So theoretically, this should not influence in any way the outcome of the appeal. The bad thing is that justice can be very slow. The good thing is that it doesn't forget. So it all stays there and it will all be considered in due time. One can only hope that this time is as short as possible. But of course, with the pandemics, everything slowed down for very serious reasons. So the only silver lining I see is that this new girlfriend must be aware of his situation. So at least compared to all the others that we heard about, this one should know the full story. Because if she officially gave her availability to host him in his house, she has to know what he's going through. Now, of course, she knows it from him, but still, she cannot be completely ignorant as to what is the legal situation of her new boyfriend.
Yeah, definitely raises a lot of questions. I know there's still stuff that we don't know, and we have to keep following this case, you know, waiting for the appeal and to see sort of what happens in the coming months while he's staying with this new girlfriend. Are you all going to, if you're going to, you know, I know you're going to continue looking into this, so we'd really appreciate if you keep us posted as more information comes out. I mean, this is it's a wild ride.
Yeah, we will. We will, to the best of our abilities. But of course, you don't get notified when stuff like that happens. So even as Cecilia was telling, in this case, it was a stroke of luck that we noticed that detail on the court document that we got from Cattaneo and that said, oh, he was in jail. Otherwise, we might have missed it. So, but we'll keep our eyes open.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
What has it been like to hear your reporting, to hear all of the, you know, the product of your work over so many years, and to hear your voices in the podcast? Now you are part of a story that's been listened to a million times. So I wanted to talk to you all about what you felt about that. Julio.
Okay, so for a very long time, I didn't bring myself up to listen to it, honestly. It's weird. I never read again what is published by me. I don't know if all journalists are like that, but like once something is out, I need to get it out of my system and focus on the next thing. It's also one of the coping mechanisms of journalism, I guess, right? Like some stories, this story in particular has been much more emotional than most stories I work on. And if I don't want to reread the simple stories that I do, I had it even stronger in this case. So I started listening to it pretty late. And yeah, I was struck by how everything came together. I am absolutely loving the music. It's something that really, really ties it together in a beautiful way. And yeah, it is a strong story. It's exactly what I was expecting and better. So yeah, it was beautiful to listen to it, to have it as a company in this time. I know that but I'm still very shy about it. Like when my girlfriend says, "Oh, a new episode is out, I want to listen to it," I say, "Don't tell me anything." So I don't even know her opinion about it yet, because, you know, I don't want to ask. But yeah, it's been great to hear it coming in together, and it's a great work. I'm proud of being part of it.
And what about you, Cecilia? What was it like for you to hear your voice and to hear this story come together after so many years of working on this?
Actually, I managed to listen to this really like a listener. I could not stop listening to it. So actually, I stayed up till like 3 a.m. listening to it like a Netflix series, you know, when you really can't stop. Mostly, I was listening to it like with soft lights in the dark, and it was exactly like watching a movie. Like I could just see the scenes. Although I also loved the way you, Natasha, took us around as listeners, but what really touched me the most was listening to the women. Some parts where I just found them so strong that they literally made me cry. Like when I listened to Olga, and I had recorded that, but when I listened to it in that context, it was very, very strong. So yeah, I mean, as a general thing, I really liked it, and I think it's a very powerful work in the end, which I feel only a tiny part of.
Well, you should give yourself a little bit more credit. you played a huge part. This would not have happened without all of you. So, and I know exactly what you mean when I listened to it. And, you know, we worked on this so much. And then when I listened to it, there's still parts where I cry. There's still parts where I get chills. And I know what's going to happen. But it still affected me in that way. So I thought also the women's voices were really... were really strong. I mean, all of you did such an amazing job. And Alessia, what about you? I mean, you were the one that sort of convinced the whole team to be a part of the podcast. Am I right about that?
Yes, I'm guilty, Your Honor. Yes, I'm the one who tried to convince them. And so I feel like, and I'm very happy to hear this feedback. I listened to Verified as in a marathon, so like one after the other, which is what I usually don't do with the serialized podcast. Of course, listening to the podcast is also a moment of memories, because we went through a lot of experience over the 7 years since when we started following and digging into this case. And then many things changed in our lives too. So this story, in a way, was a side story in our stories. So for some women, this podcast might be a very important tool for their for the life. So, and also for some of the women that we interviewed, because they didn't have the chance to speak up and to narrate their stories before. Thanks to the podcast now they could do, and maybe it's also a way to make people around them understand what happened to them. It was a way to explain what happened to themselves first, but also to the people around. So, and it's there. Of course, it's not all. The trial is not over, and there are many other steps they have to take also outside of the justice system. It's also about their own life. So, but this is an important cornerstone, I think, for many of them.
That's all for now. But if something happens in Dino Moglio's case, we'll be watching. So stay tuned. So Giulio, am I hearing your cat in the background?
Yes, it's dinner time for them. So they're like extra bothering now. But they're sweet normally.
Okay, cool. Yeah, what are their names?
The young one is called Sinbad, like the sailor. And the older one is Saba. So she's the queen of the house, and he's an annoying bastard, but I love him a lot.
Sounds like you need to feed them soon.
Yeah, actually, I should go there, but they can wait a little bit more. Doesn't matter, it's cat noises. I mean, we're journalists under lockdown. Of course there's going to be cats. Come on.
There have to be cats.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us on the ride of season one of Verified. We wouldn't be here without you. Now, we've been hard at work on our new season of Verified. We're calling it Dust Up. And this season, once again, showcases an incredible group of women fighting to have their voices heard and take control of their bodies. This time, that fight pits them against one of the biggest and most trusted companies in the world. Here's an excerpt.
In December of 2006, I had begun noting that I was having spotting in between my periods. I thought at first, well, I'm 49 years old. It's probably premenopause. So I went to Sanford Health. I met a nurse practitioner there, and she gave me a thorough exam, and then she said, you know, just to play this safe, let's get a transvaginal ultrasound. I never had one of those before, and they put the wand up the vagina, and they're looking around, and the lady's showing me on the screen, so this is your left ovary, and now we're moving over to the... The room went silent. What's wrong? Yeah, well, this is your right ovary over here, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. So I got dressed, and the door opened, and in walks a nurse practitioner. And she comes over, and she sit down right next to me and puts her hand on my knee. And I knew right then that something was not right. And she looked at me, and she goes, you have what appears to be maybe a hemorrhagic cyst on your ovary. Oh, okay, but we can't rule out a tumor. Well, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was crying. I mean, I really thought, oh my gosh, this could be cancer. Where did this come from? My mother doesn't have cancer. My father doesn't have cancer. Familial? No. Previous? No. High-fat Western diet? No.
Welcome to Season 2 of Verified. I'm Natasha Del Toro. The woman you just heard from is someone you're going to get to know pretty well throughout this series. Her name is Dean Berg. She's a tough, no-nonsense physician assistant. But just imagine how terrified she was in that moment, learning that she could have cancer. That's one of the scariest things you can hear when you go in for a checkup. that there's a tumor growing inside you. After the initial shock, Dean did what a lot of us would do. Try to make sense of it. To look for answers. So she started to investigate her body like a crime scene. A mystery that she set out to solve. And what she found put her on a collision course with one of the most iconic and trusted brands in the world. It's a battle that could affect millions of people about what is safe and what's not, and who decides anyway. That's just the beginning of our incredible new season of Verified Dust Up, which is coming on October 19th to this very feed. You can listen to ad-free episodes of Verified Dust Up only on Stitcher Premium, and we'll be releasing our episodes a week early all season long. That means that if you sign up for Stitcher Premium, you get the first two episodes of Verified on October 19th, and then you'll get the new episodes a week early all season long. For a free month of Stitcher Premium, go to stitcherpremium.com and use promo code WITNESS. Stay tuned for our trailer, which drops next week. Thanks again for listening, and we can't wait for you to hear our new season. I'm Natasha Del Toro, and this is Verified.